I want to talk to you about something we've probably all thought of some is revenge. Sweet revenge. I named it sweet revenge. Good old revenge. You ever want to get revenge against somebody? Of course we have. You know, sometime or another. You know, and the golden rule is what? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And some people add on there, but do them first.
Yeah.
That's not right. I would dare say that our flesh... get your Bible there, turn to Romans 12, verse 19. I would dare say that our flesh is going to lead us the wrong way every time. What do you think? More than likely?
Yeah.
And so we can't go by that. But I found a perfect way to get back at people. I found a perfect way to get revenge. How do you want to know that? Well, let's look at that for a minute. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says this, "Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." You see that? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Of course, he don't act fast enough. We try to help him. Verse 20 says, "Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, when I used to read this verse, and it says heap coals of fire on his head, I thought, that's good, we'll burn him up. It's not what it's talking about. I've been told in a study of this that in the desert, of course, when they're moving around, somebody carries the fire in a container on their head. They tote it around, and they got to keep something hot so they can have a fire the next time. So somebody in the group is assigned to carry the fire, so to speak. It's not blazing up, but hot coals, as best I understand it. And when I first saw this, I thought, heap cold fire on his head, that's a good deal. We'll just burn him up and get it over with. But actually, that's helping them. If you want to get back at a so-called enemy, Love them. Repay good for evil. Turn to Matthew 5. Let's read some in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew 5:43. We're reading out the New King James Version tonight, as I usually always do. one of my favorites. It's the South Georgia edition. I can understand it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you..." Now this is Jesus speaking, by the way. Jesus says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you." That's pretty heavy, ain't it? Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Don't curse back. You know, somebody threatens you, don't threaten back. That's what he's telling us, right? But actually pray for them. Several times I've told drivers that were calling me several things besides reverend on the radio, or chaplain, or something good, I would tell them, "I'm going to pray for you." And I've had them to say, "Don't you do it." And I said, "Well, that's something you can't stop. I'm going to pray for you. I don't care. I don't care what you do or say. I'm going to pray for you." Because I have learned, or learning, I haven't learned anything, but learning that the best way to win the argument, so to speak, is love them. If you argue with them, I don't care who they are, if you argue with them or try to get back at them, you're wasting your time. You just lowered yourself to their standards, my mama used to say. You lowered your own standard by arguing with them. And one of the most ridiculous things to argue about is this, the Bible. It says what it says. No need to debate. I've had people to approach me and say, I want to debate the Bible with you. And I said, well, I don't do that. You won't discuss it? I said, discuss it one thing. Debate is another thing. Whatever it says, that's what it is. We don't need any help. It's self-explanatory. People sometimes will say, I have a hard time understanding the Bible. Well, what we need to do in that case, and that's not bad. That's not bad. But if you have that problem, what we need to do is improve our relationship with the author. Who is the author? God, that's right. If we don't know the author, we can't understand the word. Some of us have been driving for a long, long time, and we could talk about trucking. Ain't too much, you know, we hadn't done or seen or been through. Somebody else comes along. Of course, back in the day, as I say, when I was, you know, 20, 30 years old and bulletproof, and, you know, yeah, right. You was already retired. No.
Retired. Yeah.
You was already tired anyway, right? But back in the day, my wife used to say, you know, when we go to somebody's house, all you're talking about is trucking. Well, that's all I know. That's all I do. That's what I live. And you know, then our friends, none of them was in it. So we didn't have a whole lot to talk about. And sometimes you find that with the Bible, you know, when you're in a place, going to any truck stop or any restaurant, anywhere where there's a group of people, and pretty soon you find out where they're coming from if you start talking about the Bible. I didn't say debate it now. I said talk about it. And the best thing to talk about this Bible, by the way, is what happened to you. Not what it says or all that. I'd rather you know the author again than the whole book. But when you can say, this happened to me, nobody can argue with that. You can say, I learned in seminary so-and-so, or Chaplain Joe taught me so-and-so. Somebody could argue with that. Well, they weren't right. And they may be right when they say that, but when you say, this is what happened to me. The greatest theological message that's ever been preached is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Plain and simple. Nobody can argue with that. I love to hear people share how Jesus came into their life. In other words, the circumstances around them coming to Christ. I don't mean that they've done all this and this and this and this. I just, sometimes you hear people that's very successful. Listen to my nephew, and I've shared this before, but listening to him, they're the most successful he'd ever been. Making big money. Well, to me it was. Said he was making $165,000 a year, so that's almost good as preaching, but not quite. But he said he was the most miserable he'd ever been in his life. And he told him about going out in the backyard and getting on his knees in his backyard. Gave his life to Christ. And he said that day, he said, I make less money now than I've ever made, and I'm more happy than I've ever been. In other words, let me tell you, see, all the theology in the world won't explain that. That don't make sense. How you can go from one level financially lower and be happier. Because our flesh says, just get more stuff. Our flesh would say, argue. Jesus said, pray for them. Don't try to be bigger or badder than the other person. Pray for them. Tell them about the love of God. It says to pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and the unjust. I've heard my mama say that 1,000 times. He rains on the just and the unjust. And I would think, boy, if I had my choice, I'd cut their water off. But I'm not God. Amen?
Amen.
And that's good. Verse 46 says, if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Pagans do that, he's saying. The lost do that. Love somebody that's lovable is not hard. Witnessing in this chapel is not hard. Amen? There's no objection. At least for the moment. Lonnie, I'd have to say there is some sometimes, right?
Yeah, there is sometimes.
But you know what? What about when we leave here? Where will we be tomorrow? All of us will be in a different place, doing different things. You'll be on the job, you know, delivering. Lonnie will be making deliveries all over the place. You'll be loading, unloading, whatever. Y'all will be dealing with customers probably. You know, who knows? But what about then? What about when everything is piled up on us and everybody's coming against us? I don't know about you, but my flesh don't like to love them. But my flesh is not in control. Amen? By my choice, it's not in control. Now, I can let it get in control again pretty easy. That don't mean I'm not a Christian. It just means I've let go, really got out of sight of God, got out of His will, and started listening to my flesh again. The Apostle Paul said more than once what a sinful nature he had. Guess what? You got one, and your sinful nature never goes away, nor does it ever get saved. It will never like submitting to the Word of God. Yours don't, mine don't, nobody's don't. Dr. Billy Graham's got a sinful nature. Every man, every person on earth got a sinful nature. It's just a matter of which one you're going to put in charge. He said if you love people that love you, ain't no big deal. Listen, the only real enemy we have is Satan. Many, many times I've told a husband, your wife is not your problem. I tell the wife, your husband is not your problem. That's not your enemy. We've got one common enemy. John 10:10 is his job description. Jesus said he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why do we expect anything different? He's just doing his thing. I'm glad he didn't end the verse there, though, amen? I'm glad he didn't stop there. Jesus said, but I have come that you may have what?
Life.
And have it more abundantly. You can never experience abundant life when you're trying to get vengeance against somebody. Because you won't be in God's will. And I say you, me, anybody. We can't be in God's will with that mindset and that attitude. And thus, the blessings of God will not be there. Many a Christian does not enjoy the blessings that God has for them because of attitude. I was one proud person before I got saved. I had an ego problem we won't even get into. It was terrible. For me to apologize was not an option. That ain't going to happen. I mean, I'd argue you down and knowing I was wrong. What's that got to do with it, you know? But then when I got saved, when I gave my life to Christ, December 1971, and I began to learn this. Now, that, by the way, my ego and my all that proud didn't go away like that. I didn't get victory like that. I was born again like that. But that flesh that's still there today, that flesh was still in control in a lot of areas of my life. And it had to be taught how to act and react. I finally learned 1 Peter 5:8 says the only enemy we have is Satan. It says your enemy, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Seeking, the Bible says, whom he may devour. One, it tells him you can't devour just anybody because he's walking around looking for somebody. Person that knows the Word and knows who he is, he or she is in the Word, and is walking in the Word, living in the Word, he ain't going to devour you. Now, of course, he'll come attack. By the way, go up to Zoo Atlanta or anywhere where there's lions. Ask the lion keeper which lion roars the loudest. You know which one it is? The one with no teeth. That's a fact. That's what the zookeeper told us. The one that roars the loudest is the old one with no teeth. Now, so, you know, kind of humorously, I apply that to the Bible in this, where it says, your enemy, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. All he can do is gum me a little bit. Ain't so bad. Right? And he does attack. And I hope he keeps attacking. And the reason I say that is I don't want him to think I'm on his side. This is war. And we're here for the long haul. Amen? Amen. By God's grace and with his help, we're going to keep on keeping on. Do I look forward to attacks? Absolutely not. Sometimes I wish I could get through 24 hours without one. But on the other hand, I don't want him to get to where he thinks that we're on the same side. Ain't going to happen. I hope. The only enemy we have is Satan. He was defeated when Jesus rose from the dead. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and death, or hell and death. He conquered Satan on the cross. Not only that, Luke 10:19 says we have power over Satan, our only enemy. Remember, he's our only enemy. He will always be our enemy. He will never be on our side. He'll bless you if you follow him for a while. Oh yeah, he blessed me for a while. The only trouble is his blessings have a catch to them and a high price tag. A very high price tag. But Luke 10:19, Jesus said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we got power over the only enemy we got. What's the sweat? Again, he's going to attack. So no matter what somebody does, the Bible says we're to love them in the Lord. Again, how hard is that? That's tough. Sometimes. And he will get the ones closest to you to stick the knife the deepest, it seems like, right? Be it a close friend, a business associate, a relative, sometimes a child, sometimes a spouse. You know, it ain't necessarily that person is living for the devil. It could mean that they're just letting him use them. Oh, he'll use me against my wife in a minute. What I mean by that, just saying the wrong thing, hurting, right? Biting, as we call it. But you know what, fellas? I'm big enough to go back and say, I'm sorry. I didn't react correctly. We came home off of the trip, and like a dummy, I forgot to check the LP gas before we left. I opened the door to the house and smell that smell. Anybody ever had LP gas? You know what I'm talking about. You know immediately what's wrong. We're extremely low. I went out to tank. It was dead on zero. We wasn't only low. It was out. So I went over and got the motorhome out of shop, drove it back to the house, and we set up camp in it. And in fact, supposed to move back in the house tonight if I get home in time. What I was going to say is we were sitting there working, Jan and I. She's on the sofa, and I'm at the dining room table, and the blower for the heater, or one of the furnaces, is right beside me. She's talking to me looking that way. You know I have a hearing impairment. About the third what, it kind of got a little warm. She was tired of responding, right? So I said, well, wait a minute. You know, to myself, this ain't worth it. So I just walk up there and sit down beside her so I can hear her. But you know, Satan can use something like that to start a feud, and nobody really did anything. Now, maybe we're the only ones that do that. I don't know. I mean, most of you just respond perfectly every time, right? The quicker you learn to say, yes, ma'am, the better off you are. But only God can give us the strength to love the unlovable. To love the unlovable. Well, after all, he loved you and me, didn't he? While we were yet sinners, Romans, what, 5:8? While we were still in sin, Christ died for us, showed his love for us, without any question. You say, I can't love that person. They've hurt me too much. No, you can't, but he can. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. All born-again Christians have the same Holy Spirit living in them. It's the same guy that had this book wrote called the Bible. He is the author. He's the one that told the men and women what to write. So he knows the book. Now, as a born-again Christian, he lives in me and you. Who better to be there? But again, he don't force us. He don't make us. He offers it, and it's up to us to respond. So we really don't, you know. Flip Wilson made a fortune saying what? The devil made me do it. And that was fun. That was fine for a laugh, but it's very untrue. Satan can't make you do anything you don't want to do. God won't make you, and Satan can't make you. So guess whose choice it is? Mine, right? And, as I said, I don't respond right every time. But I'm working on it. I'm working on it. The ones that don't do that, 1 John 4:5 describes them. It says they are of the world. Woo! And as a Christian, we can have the world in us, right? Again, that part of the flesh in control. It's up to us. Love our enemies. Skipping down, 1 John 4:11 said, beloved, if God so loved us, so we ought to love one another, no matter what. No exception. Love one another. In fact, it says, in verse 8, it said, he who does not love does not know God. Wow. That's slicing it pretty thin, ain't it? You mean if I don't love my enemies, God is not in me? Pretty close to saying that. He's certainly not in control of my life, I could say that. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Whoa. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. 1 John is a small book in the back. We got 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And a lot of 1 John, if you read it, is about loving people. It's the love book. It tells us how, when, where to love. How many times you've been on a dock and somebody just really lowered the boom on you and you hadn't done anything? So what we tend to do is go back at it. Go back at it. I've shared this many times, but I took a job, my last full-time truck driving job. The company sold to Winn-Dixie. Guess where I went every trip? To Winn-Dixie warehouse. One of them was known, the receiver was known to give people a hard time. The first load I got going down there, I knew that because I'd been in and out of there over the years. But I'd never been in a position where I knew I had to go back. So I asked the Lord to help me build a relationship with that guy. And I won't bore you with a long story. But the bottom line is, now don't get me wrong, the first time I went in there, got up to the dock, they called me in, your time, you know. And what they did, they'd call in the second truck before the first one got emptied. You'd be sitting out in front, directly in front of the other truck. So when he pulled out, you back in. When the truck pulled out, I started backing up, walked inside. He said, I'm not going to unload you. And that flesh said, go get it. It's your turn, you know. I looked at him, I said, well, I'm like Delta. I'm ready when you are. I'll see you. I said, right out there, that's my lumper right over there. He said a few more things not very kind. Just went on a few times. But before it was over, we were best of friends. If you didn't show up for your appointment, say I had a 2 o'clock appointment and you had a 7 and you didn't show up, guess who they pulled in? Me. Why? Because I didn't give him a hard time. I didn't go back at him. I just let it go. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't sound like some kind of faith giant. My flesh, Mama used to say, make my skin crawl. You know, your flesh should not be in control. Turn over to 1 John with me. 1 John, let's go to chapter 1. Way over close to the back. Read a few verses together. By the way, those Bibles are yours to keep. They're free. Take one with you. Mark in it, write in it, do what you want. Where's it at? Well, we're about 2:34, 1 John chapter 1. This is going to tell us what some of the things that will happen in our life after we've become born again and start studying the Word. Now, if you don't study the Word, if you don't read it, it's not going to be in you. And by the way, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing. Not by reading, but by hearing. So we need to hear what the Word says. Read out loud. I read our devotions every morning. Out loud, whether Jan's with me or not, I read it out loud so I can hear it. I read my chapter in the Bible out loud so I can hear it. Then it goes into my spirit man and your spirit man. Whatever you hear, good, bad, or ugly, goes in your spirit man, right? And Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever you hear goes in your heart and out your mouth. Not hard to figure out where somebody's coming from just listening to them, right? My question to myself is, what are people hearing from me when I don't know they're listening? You know what I mean? When I don't have my chaplain shirt on or not around Christians, I hope they hear the same word coming out. I hope they hear the love of God coming out of my mouth, because that's what's supposed to be happening if it's in my heart. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, that is, we say we're born again, right? Fellowshipping with God, and walk in darkness, what is the next two words?
We lie
and do not practice the truth. Wow. Wow. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. all sin. If we walk in the light. What does that mean to walk in the light? Does that mean sunlight? No. What does it mean?
God's light.
That's right. Exactly. Walking according to the Word. This is God's Word. Contrary to popular belief today, it's infallible. It can't be wrong. In error, there is no error in it. There's a big group going around today teaching it's possible for the Bible to be wrong. My answer to that is, if it is, throw it in the trash. Throw it in the trash. Because I'm betting my life that it's not wrong. Amen? We're actually betting all eternity that it's not wrong. So if it were wrong, then we're wasting our time. Some teach that a certain group's going to go to heaven and the rest are not. Well, if that's true, throw the Bible in the trash. You're either in the group or you're not. That's not what the Bible says. Look at the next verse there. Let's go on. The next verse says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9 is where we want to get to. The grand finale of all that we say, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from almost all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Everything. And by the way, when we sin as a Christian, when we sin, not if, when we sin, this verse is applicable. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. I repent. Now help me, Lord, not to do that again. This is not something over and over and over. You know, our children may come to us and, or whether we caught them or they come to us, either way. I'm sorry, Daddy. I'm sorry. What if every week they come to you with the same exact thing? Pretty soon, your patience is going to wear out, right? Hadn't you learned anything? What about us and God? Fortunately, His patience don't wear out. He's very patient. But there, Romans 1 teaches us of a point of no return. I believe that with all my heart. There's a line that a person can cross and the Holy Spirit is withdrawn. He says that. He said, my spirit won't always strive with man. There's a point when He says, okay, Joe Hunter, if that's what you want, you got it. And He won't bother me anymore. But as long as He's bothering us, we still got hope. He loves me enough to correct me. My mama used to be tearing my little hiney out of the frame. She'd tell me, this has hurt me more than it is you. I used to think to myself, she's going to die any minute. You know, if this has hurt her half as bad as this, it must not have been too bad. I'd done it again. Right? You know why she whipped me? Because she loved me. You know why we correct our children? Because we love them. Because we know what they're going, where they're going. They don't. You know why God corrects us? Because He loves us. And He said that Joe Hunter, me, has to love his enemies. And I've been stabbed by some of the best, just like some of you have, right? By the people closest to me. One of our very best friends, and still is today, by the way. He visited with some of our people in Texas. He's from another state, truck driver, he's owner-operator then. And he stopped by and visited with them. And in the conversation, somehow, Jan and I had not long went full-time in the ministry. And he explained to them that we was in it strictly for the money. The amazing part was we was making $950 a month with two children. That's not a crook, that's an idiot. That's what I told him when I saw him again. I said, you didn't call me a crook, you called me an idiot. Nobody's right mind leave the job I had for that, for the money. And I'm not bragging on what we did. We did what God told us to do. God hired me. He promised to supply all of my needs. Amen? As long as I do what my boss wants me to do, I could expect my boss to do what he said he'd do. Like any other boss. Like any trucking company boss. Same thing. Right? They give you a certain amount of drops to make, certain places to go, certain time to be there, baby. You get there, you're going to expect a paycheck. And rightfully so. My boss tells me, next time you're around somebody that really hates your guts, love them. And I said, but can we talk about this? No, that's not negotiable. Lonnie, what do you think if you took that load out, you had five stops, and you got to the third one, and you called in and said, I ain't going there, I don't like them. Exactly. You wouldn't last long, would you? Well, they don't treat me right, so I'm not going there. And if you've been driving a truck very long, you've been to some of them. They think you're about three steps below mud or something, right? You have to go in there and smile at them. Say, may the Lord bless you. Pray for them. And no, it don't mean lay hands on the sick. The Bible does say that, but that ain't what it don't mean with your fist. A good friend of mine used to say my pastor's wife, or my former pastor's wife, she was a nut anyway. And she said, the Bible says to love your enemies. It don't say I can't have a brick in my hand when I love them. That is not correct, right? Tonight, let's do this. First of all, there may be somebody here that is not sure they're saved at all. Don't know for sure you're going to heaven. Or somebody listening to the CD may be unsure. First and foremost is being born again. Nothing else matters till you make that step. And it's as easy as that 1 John 1:9 we just read. Confessing our sin. There's no ritual to it. You don't have to do anything else to qualify for heaven. Now, of course, if you're born again, that's all right. If you're born again, you're ready to die. But you're not necessarily ready to live. Why? Because that flesh is still there. Right? We have to learn to get power over that. We have to learn how to defeat the flesh. So tonight, whatever it is in your life that God maybe has spoken to you about, maybe convicted you of, not condemned, convict. He doesn't condemn anybody. That's the enemy. I've often thought it funny how the enemy will come to a person and talk them into and convince them to sin. Let's just say adultery for this, just for something. That same voice, and I've talked to hundreds of people, the same voice that talked them into it condemned them for doing it. You've heard people say that. They felt nasty, they felt this, that, and the other. That's that same person that talked you to do it to start with. Some friend he is. But then we got that other one inside that says, I don't care what you did. I love you anyway. I love you anyway. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit. So tonight we want to close with a simple little prayer. I want to, as I always do, I want you to pray it with me out loud with your eyes open and up. And if you mean this from your heart, only God and you are going to know that anyway. I mean, I could call on you. I could, you know, ask for a raised hand. You could do all that and not mean a thing. The preacher that married Gannon and me, was known to come down in the pew and get you by the arm. I saw him doing that. Of course, I wasn't saved back then. I thought to myself, he comes down here, one of us ain't going to be in good shape when it's over. He better not grab my arm. You know, that don't do any good. What's that old saying? You can lead a horse to water. You can tell somebody, like I'm telling you right now, Jesus is there wanting to forgive you, but if you don't accept it, it don't mean nothing. You go to hell, but you go to hell over his dead body, as they say, literally, because he died, so I don't have to. That's the good part. And you know what? That happened for me December the 19th, 1971, and today I'm still amazed when I think about it. I'm amazed that he would do that. I am amazed that God Almighty would love me that much. And he'd do it again if he needed to, but he don't. Done once and for all. All we have to do is accept his payment. Accept his payment. Thank you, Lord. We owed $42,500 on that building, and y'all heard this story. A man came through town, wrote us a check, paid it off. But what if we just said, now we don't want it? We'd have still had the debt. We had the option, because it didn't take me long to consider, but we had the option to accept the gift or not. I mean, sometimes pride will tell us, I'm all right. No, you're not. You're broke. Not nothing to eat, whatever it might be. Just pride. They also, pride will keep us from witnessing sometimes. Tonight, whatever the case is, let God have it. According to the scripture we read, he promised to forgive us and forget it. Hebrews 8:12 and 10:17 both say, your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. That's the part I like. He literally forgets my sin. Now that's, I can't hardly imagine that. Satan don't let me forget it. But there's no record of it in heaven anywhere. What happened before December the 19th, 1971, there is no record in heaven for me. What happened after that, I'm responsible for, of course. If something's in your life that shouldn't be, leave it here by praying this simple prayer from your heart. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Come into my heart and help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. Help me to love my enemies. Help me do good to those that hurt me. And I'll give you praise, give you glory, and thank you for forgiving my sin. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you meant that, and only you and God really know, your life will change from this point on. You'll find that even if you go back to places where you used to go, where we shouldn't be, you'd be, my mama used to say, like a fish out of water. Just don't fit no more. Why? Because your nature has changed.